smartphone, DSTV Channel 856 and on 92.7 and 106 FM.
This is 702.
And 10 past 8, I've got Nikki Bush in studio trying to quietly and surreptitiously unpack the game that she's going to be reviewing in the toy review segment. And I just told her, just like, make some noise, girl. Just, you know, do what you need to do. It's okay. Good morning, Nikki. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm fine. Thanks for feeling well.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really awesome to hear. Now, Nikki, today we're taking a look at how to choose the ideal school for your child. And I guess with all the private school open days being marketed on street poles and billboards, this is an opportune time to start thinking around how to shop for a school for your child. Not just take them to a school because I heard so-and-so's kid is happy there, or I'm told that this is the school to send my child to, but how to find one that's suitable for your child. And I guess kids have their own needs, don't they?
That's right. So, Vufrilwe, on my way here this morning, just the street pole ads down William Nicol. Mm-hmm. Every single one was for a different school.
Absolutely.
And there were queues outside certain schools this morning already because open day season has begun.
Yeah, it's upon
us. Whether you are getting your child into primary school for the first time, even preschool, because there's cradle to grave marketing now,
yes,
especially in the private school industry, that if you can get a child in grade triple naught, you can keep them for life.
You know, you're making me laugh because you're taking me back to memories of you're pregnant and you haven't even had the child yet. And someone asks you, so are you on the list of this and this and this school? I put my child on the list as soon as I was planning my pregnancy. And I'm like, guys, it cannot be that bad. But apparently it is.
Yes. So these waiting lists start from a very, very young age, as you say, even in utero. And not only that, but they attract a registration fee as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and schools sit on that registration fee for years earning interest. So schools have become businesses, and we need to understand that. Mm-hmm. Schools have a marketing department. Schools are, if you go and read your local knock and drop, probably a quarter of the knock and drop these days is dedicated to what's happening in schools, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's a really good thing because it does give us a little window into what's happening in schools and does help us to get to know which schools are in our suburb, in our environment, and what schools have to offer today. And schools do put their best foot forward, obviously, in the marketing process. And these open days are part of the marketing process.
Yes.
So you as a parent can now go and visit a school on a Saturday. Some of them have them during school time. Some of them have them on a Saturday.
Sure.
And you can go and investigate, look at the facilities, listen to a presentation done by whether it's the marketing person or whether it's the school principal, walk around the school, get a feel, see, touch and feel. And then you have to compare one offering against another.
Yeah.
And schools try and find, like any good product and any good brand, some slight differentiation, a unique selling proposition.
Yeah, what's my USP?
What's my USP? And it's quite hard in the school environment because essentially all schools are there to deliver an education.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they've now got to find out, you know, which one is raspberry and which one is blueberry and which one is orange. You're looking for that little difference. And there will be schools who are big into community service, who raise children with heart.
Mm-hmm.
And there are schools who will pride themselves on their sporting achievements. And there are schools who will promote maybe technology in the environment. A lot of schools today, of course, are using the Fourth Industrial Revolution as a hook.
Yeah.
And one really has to scratch beneath the surface a little bit when you're looking at schools.
How do you do that? Because you've made the decision that I'm going to take my child to a private institution, right? You like the facilities, for instance. And once you've got three on the plate or four options, how do you decide and make, you know, compare those options and decide this is actually what I want to do, which option, this is actually the school I want to choose?
So let's start with some basics before we go into things like coding and programming. One is know your values as a family. What do you stand for, and have you looked at the values of the school? What do they stand for, and is it a good marriage?
Sure.
Okay. Number two, what's your budget? It's great to find this amazing school that's a Rolls-Royce school, but can you really afford it? Because your children need you and your time. If you're going to be spending all your time working for the money to send them to the best school, you are defeating the object of being a parent and parenting your child, because you will be leaving an emotional void And that void cannot be filled by anybody else but you.
Yeah.
So it's very important that you cut your coat according to your cloth. Like, seriously important.
Because I need to add on to what you're saying, Anna. I saw the most heart-wrenching tweet earlier on this week of someone saying, I've got a friend that I've been trying to convince to send her child to a government school. This child has been kicked out of the private school due to non-payment, but this woman, because of pride, won't go ahead and register. So the child apparently has been sitting at home. Just an awful, awful, unconscionable,
terrible
but
story.
We all unfortunately have experienced or seen kids whose parents fall upon hard times, and you know, the child has to get wrenched out of school midway through the year, yeah, because they can't afford the fees.
Yeah. So the thing is to look at what can you consistently afford.
Yeah.
Not what can you afford today,
but
what over time is going to be doable for you and your family. And
sure,
if you've got more than one child, you really, really need to be thinking about this, because it is awful to leave a child in that situation, because they feel isolated and they feel it's their fault. And we need to be able to keep perspective that the costs related to school are not just about the school fees. If you walk into a high-end private school, there's a lifestyle that goes with it as well.
Sure.
If your child is mixing with children who have everything that opens and shuts, they will want everything that opens and shuts. In order to feel part of the crowd, they will want the tackies and the shoes and the
and the quad bikes. I kid you not.
Quad bikes, good grief. You know,
and the golf cart.
There's an expectation that comes with a certain environment.
Absolutely.
Okay. Make sure that you're comfortable with all of that and that you can afford all of that so that your child does not look like a spare part. So even in schools who have a huge outreach program and bursaries to bring underprivileged children in to these amazing academic environments in schools that have absolutely everything that opens and shuts. It's become a big thing now. How do we integrate that child? There are now funds in the school to provide that child with birthday gifts and Christmas gifts like everybody else gets.
Interesting.
We have to really think about these things, because it's not just about giving your child the academic education. It's a lifestyle. It's a whole offering that goes with it.
And if you decide, Nikki, sorry, if you decide that actually I'll push ahead anyway, right, in terms of that lifestyle aspect that you're talking about, how do you then craft a message and a thinking for your child that, yes, we can't give you access to all these other things that your cohort has, but this is why. Keep in mind that this is why you're here, and keep your eye on the prize.
Yes, I was about to say exactly that. Keep your eye on the prize. I think you have to have a very mature relationship with your child, a very clear communication channel to be able to get that across.
Sure.
In other words, there are certain sacrifices that we're going to have to make to give you X.
Mm.
You can't have Y as well, or you can only have a little bit of Y to get X.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fraught with its own issues.
Sure.
And even people who can afford their child's education and everything that comes with it, you know, there's a price to privilege too. And that's something we can explore another time.
Sure.
But the important thing is to find out the philosophy of learning in a school.
That's
because
key.
Every school has a different philosophy. What are the theoretical underpinnings of the school's approach to teaching and learning? Do they have a good understanding of how children learn? Because there's one thing about a school that delivers an education. There's another thing about a school that delivers an education, understanding how children learn, not how we think they learn.
Mm.
And there's so much neuroscience available today that is shifting the way we teach children in very enlightened and evolving schools, as well as matching that to what the world of work is demanding. So in my book, Future Proof Your Child for the 2020s and Beyond, which was co-authored with Dr. Graham Codrington, there's an entire chapter. In fact, I've got the printout in front of me of what can school do for your child,
mm-hmm,
and is school really relevant? And that's whether it's relevant or not is another conversation entirely. But it's really interesting to watch how education is being reshaped these days, and that there's this groundswell of interest around child-directed learning and project-based learning. Mm. So I was chatting to a teacher yesterday who works at one of the newer private schools, Broadacres Academy, in the northern suburbs. And new schools are able to adopt new ways of teaching and learning very sure. easily because they don't have years and years of tradition.
Mm-hmm.
So you will have the new upstart schools who have this new thinking, think future nation schools,
sure.
Et cetera, versus traditional schools and monastic schools and faith-based schools, which are steeped in history. So you might want that kind of history and tradition for your children. You might want a new school that is not producing children in a mold.
Sure.
These are considerations. They're serious considerations. And today we have so much choice that it's actually almost confusing. When you're shopping for a school, because literally you are shopping for a school, you are going out to shop for a school, you need to look at these things. So just to mention some of these terms that will come up when you listen to a presentation. So project-based learning, for example, takes learning out of the silos. So you're not just learning science and you're not just learning history. You're actually learning all of that together with English and maths in one lesson.
Sure.
So this particular school did the body with their, I think, grade twos. And the children had to lie on big pieces of paper and they had to be traced. Mm-hmm. And then they took photographs of their faces and they had two pieces of the body, which they sewed together and they stuffed.
Yeah.
But in the same environment, they were learning about the internal organs of the body, the vascular system and the skeleton, and they were making the skeleton.
Yeah.
And all of this was happening together.
Yeah.
So it wasn't separate. And so we're trying to help children to understand systems thinking,
sure.
that one system is connected to another, to another, to another, which creates more meaning for the child. And imagine that lesson, the child's face is sitting atop their body, okay, because there was a photograph.
Mm.
They are in the lesson.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we're trying to find schools that bring learning alive for children.
Yeah.
That meet kids where they're at and also are more reflective of the real world that we live in, are not teaching children in a way that will prepare them for the industrial revolution, for standing in factories,
sure.
but will teach them cooperative skills, collaborative skills, critical thinking, problem solving. But if a school tells you they do that, you need to say, how?
Yes.
How do you do that? And yes, you've got all this technology, but what courses are your teachers going on to help them to learn how to use it effectively?
Mm-hmm.
How are you using technology in the classroom? You know, it's very, very interesting how many preschools are touting that they've got coding and programming in their curriculum. A child in their preschool years doesn't need to be using computers in the school.
Mm.
You can teach coding and programming through games because that's the thinking behind how to use a bot next.
Absolutely, yeah.
So you really want to be mining, does the school really understand how children actually learn.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll hear things like the blended learning, which is a combination of computer-based and teacher intervention, and a child will be able to set their own learning pace.
Sure.
And then you've got the flipped classroom, where teachers are taking small groups out of the classroom and workshopping 5 or 10 kids at a time, or 2 or 3 kids at a time, then they put them back in the group, and the group does lots of group learning themselves and facilitates their learning themselves. So there's lots of different models. You will see schools breaking down walls these days and creating these open plan learning spaces.
Yeah.
So school might not even look like it used to look for you.
Yeah, but you need to make sure this works for your child.
That too.
Right? Can your child learn in that open plan sort of environment, or does your child respond better to, you
structure,
know, a more structured, traditional approach? Okay.
Totally. So technology usage is important. The actual physical space is important. The curriculum that they're following is important. The teacher development is very, very important.
Speaking of teacher development, how often are parents looking at the principal, for instance? Because we moved around a lot. And what I noted back then as a kid was that so much of your school experience is premised on who the principal is and what their values are and what they feed into the rest of the school body.
So leadership is important. Mm. I would like to meet the principal if I could, if I was looking to put my child in a school, to get the philosophy and the ethos. I think a good place to start is usually if you go on the internet to a school's website, look under newsletters and go and read. Go and read if that principal is putting out anything interesting that will help me be a better parent.
What he's focused on.
That will help me understand the future that my child is going to go into. That's a nice clue. And then, of course, we have got two other things that are very important today. And that is security and access control and aftercare facilities.
Yes.
Because many people are working a full job, full day job. So what kind of aftercare facilities are there? Will your child do homework while they're there? How will they get from sport or cultural activities to aftercare? Those things are an important consideration. And where is that school positioned? Is it closer to your work or is it closer to your home? Mm. How convenient is this? Because part of parenting is being there for your child, being at the parent evenings, being at the school play, being able to attend the sports events. How are you going to get there? And you won't be able to be there all the time if you work full time, but will you be able to be there enough of the time? And how convenient is that for you? So there's some very practical considerations. And then, of course, follow your instinct, that gut feel about a place. And that's why it can be really important to drop into a school while it is in session and not just on a Saturday during the open day when everything is neat and tidy and everything is organized and they put their best students out to meet and greet you.
Absolutely.
You actually want to be able to gauge the level of happiness in a school. You want to hear the noise in a school. Mm. You want to hear if it's a happy noise. You want to see it in action. Sit in on a school assembly, for example. Those sorts of things give you some clues, some real clues. Pop in on a sports day and go and see what's the school spirit like.
And see how kids talk to each other amongst themselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, choosing a school is like going shopping, but it's got deep consequences for a very long time that will ripple through your child's life and your own because school becomes very much a part of your life. Every day you eat, sleep, and breathe school.
Yeah.
So you do need to give it due consideration and also remember that school is ultimately your child's place.
Yeah.
It's where they're going to spend many, many hours in a day without you, learning to be independent without you, and they are going to be using this as their own canvas, like an artist. And once again, that's for another discussion, but it is an interesting one.
Yeah, it really, really is key. Ultimately, you're choosing the place and the people and the institution that's going to form so much of your child's values, their worldviews, so much.
Very important what you just said, their values and their worldviews. Because your children are spending so many hours a day there, more hours than they will spend with you, school is a co-parent for your child.
Yeah.
The staff, the institution is helping to raise your children too. Yeah. So that means choose well, but also pay the institution and the teachers due respect and build a good relationship with them because they are bringing up your children with you.
Yeah, it is a relationship. All right. So we are now moving on over to the toy review. What have you got for us?
Well, I chose this specifically because we were talking about schools and how it's a process of elimination.
Yes,
I thought I was quite clever with this. So this is Stomple.
Yeah.
And Stomple is going to be for your 8-year-olds through to adults. It's a highly addictive, fast-paced game. 2 to 6 players. Costs about 650-odd rand, available at Hamleys and Takealot. And it's a racing game. You've got to outwit your opponents by stomping on their marbles. The person with the most marbles left on the board is the winner. So you can see I've got a turquoise Stomple.
There are
different coloured Stomples. So you start off on the edge of the, and I haven't put them all out because I was going to make too much noise, but you start off on the edge of the board.
Yeah.
And, right, so you're yellow, so I want to get rid of you.
Yeah.
Right, that's where my Stomple sits. Now it would be your turn. Okay, and you would maybe get rid of my turquoise over there. If there are 2 or 3 marbles that are next to each other that are the same color, you can keep Stomping. Okay. So, and you try not to get rid of the reds. Those are for bonus points. So essentially, everybody is racing turn by turn to get rid of each other's marbles.
Yeah.
And it's all about spatial planning, problem solving, and strategy.
Yeah.
Because where you start and where you end is you know, determined by where you start, really, at the end of the day. So your starting point is very important. You can jump.
Yeah.
Across the board if you get rid of one of your own marbles.
Ooh.
Okay, but then again, you lose some points.
So part of strategy as well.
All part of strategy. Okay. And it really is a very fun game, addictive, and it's one of those nice games that takes you like no more than 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You could have a couple of rounds or just one round.
Great for a study break.
Go for a study break. Little bit of fun over dinner.
Yeah.
Bit of competition. We could have the Stomple Champion of the Week. You know, there's something really fun about finding a champion for something every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
And that little bit of competition in a family takes your eye off all the other stuff you don't like.
Yeah.
Because there's always stuff that sucks in life,
yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
But a bit of play just raises the energy levels, fills our emotional cups, and we connect in a very different way. So you can go and see more about this on toytalk.co.za.
All right, fantastic. Nikki Bush, you and I will do this again next week. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.